Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. We have a great show today. We have a special secret call-in guest.
Special.
Giving his movie that made us. We have a review of the movie Roadhouse. Mm. We have movie news. And we also have these are regular panelists on the show. Come on. Let's hear it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it right now. I forget that you guys are, that nobody, who's going to clap?
Yeah. I'll clap. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, let's keep this podcast on rolling.
So our regular panelists do include, and please put your hands together for the Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. Hi, Rhea. How are you?
Yeah, girl.
Thank you. You guys give it up for Cameron.
To the wave. Yeah, girl.
keep it going for Cameron bringing me on the show. No, it's good. I'm doing great. That's it.
You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. What just happened?
I had a bunch of coffee.
God, that does work, huh?
Coffee at night just wakes me right up.
Just at night, though.
In the morning, it's like this shit does not work at all.
And also, the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona. How are you doing, Ricky?
What it do, people? How you doing, ladies? What's going on? Good evening. Hello. I don't have coffee, but your glow is emanating onto me, and I'm feeling it, girl. Feeling it.
I'm giving you some caffeine through the airwaves.
That's beautiful.
It's coming through. It's coming through, y'all.
I was just saying before we started recording that I love working with you guys so much. You're so wonderful. It's lovely to spend Monday nights with you. That's when we record and we release several days later. So just to give you a little bit behind the scenes what a podcast is.
How the magic works.
Inside baseball.
Yes. Well, the baseball is a podcast.
Cork.
Yeah. What?
Inside podball?
Yeah, podball.
Inside
Listen,
podball.
Sammy Sosa. Did I name a baseball guy?
You sure did. Right.
Okay. You got it.
He has a hat also. Think of him in the hat when he is wearing that. He's got a hat on.
They all wear hats.
I did a telephone interview today with somebody who had they were preparing to speak with me, and they had listened to this show, and the question that she asked. This is the only question she asked about the show. She said, now, are you guys in the same room when you record? Or are you in separate rooms? I loved this question because she didn't say, like, are you all calling in? I kind of think maybe she thought we were each individually in a recording studio.
Mm-hmm. Booths.
Yeah,
separate
just
booths.
Next to each other.
This is, I mean, I love how we do the show already right now, but with this idea that she has is brilliant. Yeah. Why do we not have our own recording booth?
Just a bunch more. Now, is it the same size booth, or are we each in a booth that's so small we can't even sit down?
No, I have a suggestion.
All right.
We have one gigantic booth, like the Beatles, with like a bunch of instruments in it. But within that large booth, there are three smaller booths.
Ooh.
That's nice.
And each of us is like Eddie Murphying it up.
Oh,
I don't understand literally any of your references from just now. What are the Beatles, and why do they have a big booth?
The Beatles were a band from Jersey back in the 80s.
Got it. Oh,
they sang Born to Run.
Yeah. Oh, Elvis, sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we are going to be back in just a second with some movie news. Hey guys, it's Cameron, and I just want to thank you so much for listening. We love to hear from you. I am on Twitter, and so are my two panelists, friends, and compatriots, Rhea Butcher and Ricky Carmona. You can find us all. I'm at Cameron Esposito, at Rhea Butcher, at Ricky Carmona. Please tweet us, follow us, and let us know what you think of the show. And we are back. We were just away for a second. We're back now. Don't stress. This isn't movie news. This is commercial news, but we were just talking about it before the show. And so I would like this is a Twitter poll for our listeners.
Ooh.
And I already know what Ricky's answer is.
Ooh, okay.
There is a new Volvo ad.
Oh,
two trucks. An action film star, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JVCD.
Yes, as you know, it rolls trippingly off the tongue.
Whatever.
He is standing on two Volvo trucks, and also, of course, Enya is playing.
Of course.
That affected me in a way, too. I love Enya. I have for a while, since high school. And Enya's playing that, who can... Actually, wait. That is also from a Keanu Reeves movie, isn't it?
Is
that in Sweet... No, no, it's not in Sweet November. No, that's Dido. But remember Sweet November? Charlize, she does not make it.
Cameron. Whoa, spoiler alert. No one cares about that movie on this podcast.
You can't even find that movie. That's like a fossil.
It only came out on Laserdisc.
I have to dig it up.
I feel honored that you honestly asked me, do you remember in Sweet November as if I've seen Sweet November? I saw Lake House. I'm more of a Lake House Keanu Reeves guy.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I've seen Lake House. I have. I saw it in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Saw it with my mom in the theater. Yep.
What's wrong with you guys?
$2 theater, too, so it was worth each dollar.
Lake House, not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
Not that bad.
I don't remember.
Right, it's been
a minute. There's a glass house, I think. It's on the lake.
There is a lot, you know. There's a bus.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, there's a bomb on the bus. The bus is in a glass house on a lake. And that's okay, because when the glass house explodes, the bus will just go in the lake, and that will make the fire go out.
It's
no problem.
Easily.
Problem solved. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is on these two trucks, and then the trucks move away from each other, but just enough so that he's doing a full split, with his feet on two rearview mirrors of Volvo trucks that are driving
side view
backwards.
Rear view.
No, he's in the car. It's their rear view mirrors.
You're kidding me.
His feet are on the back seat. No, it's side view mirrors.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Correction.
I forgot you're an automotive expert.
Yes.
And you actually are.
Yeah.
But my question to you guys, and here's, because I already know how Ricky feels about this, is this real? Did this happen? Did Jean-Claude Van Damme, in a closed course with professional drivers.
Yes.
Do not attempt.
Get onto two Volvos. They went backwards slowly. They went away just enough. They knew exactly the span of his legs. He's wearing jeans, but they stretch enough. Are those his legs even?
I would say that Jean-Claude Cocaine Van Damme in like the late 80s, early 90s would probably no problem doing that. Jean-Claude Van Damme today and the
cortisone
power of, yeah, exactly. The power of technology, I think, might fool our eyes into believing.
So you think that it was made by computer scientists?
Computer scientists
to trick us.
I hope computer scientists gets nominated for
best
special effects.
Yeah,
Don Draper.
I don't know if Don Draper's magic that did it.
Is that right?
Nope, I don't know. Henson Studios, I think, was behind it. You could see there's a hand coming out of his rear end.
Out of his up. He's got a hand up his ass, ladies and gentlemen, we're saying.
He's a puppet, Van Damme.
It's a badass commercial.
It's a great badass commercial.
Well, also, I haven't seen it yet.
He's wearing an amazing amount of makeup.
Yeah, he is.
And just whoever did that. But you should check it out, Rhea. And also, those of you that are listening at home, if you haven't seen this commercial, please check it out. It's important. And let us know, is it real? I say totally real.
I say it all depends on the foot placement.
I say real. I say totally real. Also, so here's some news.
Cameron also thinks Time Cop is a true story.
Yeah.
So just.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? He's timing and he's a cop. What are you talking about?
It's cop time.
Time for some cops. Cop of time. So Joe Wright, he is the director of Atonement and Pride and Prejudice, but most importantly for this show, Hannah. Now, did you guys see that?
I did see Hannah.
I didn't see it.
I thought it was rockin', had a weird third act.
Yes.
But so close to being good.
Yeah.
And not good, but so close. And it's that
Saoirse Ronan?
She's in it.
Yes. Yeah.
She's
fan of the show.
Star of it, yeah. And, he is making Pan, which is a new Peter Pan movie. And the reason
I bring this up...
is that Javier Bardem is going to play Blackbeard, who's like the leader of the pirates. He's like the Captain Hook person in this.
But not Hook.
No, he's not. He's got a beard, not a hook.
I don't know
if he's got a hook of beards, but or a beard of hooks. But
very hipstery if he did.
Yeah. No, he's the pirate guy.
That's funny.
And I am interested in this for several reasons. Number one, always interested in anything Javier Bardem is doing. Also, after seeing Hannah, I wonder if there will be like an action-y element to this, which would be kind of cool for like a Peter Pan movie that was a little bit more like less Hook, less adult Robin Williams jumping up and down in tights, and more action-y. I'd be interested in seeing that. Also, I thought it was very interesting to think about the fact that it's almost like there's so many fairy tale television shows on right now.
Yeah.
And it sort of feels like maybe that could be the next superhero thing.
the next franchise to take over.
And I'm just curious as to whether
as a genre.
Yeah,
because like what we're gonna.
We've made so many superhero films. We're continuing to make them because they're so lucrative.
Well, actually, not. I didn't even realize it until you just started saying it. They just put out the other trailer. Did you see this? You guys were excited about this movie. You told me about this first. That Maleficent trailer.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I haven't seen the trailer. No.
I saw the trailer. Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer. Yeah.
Is it good? Looking.
No.
Thummy down.
Look.
I was kind of indifferent to it. They don't really show you too much. And then the big reveal is
not great.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And you weren't on board with that?
She
looks like.
Yeah.
You want her to stay at the UN?
Yeah, I want her to stay at the UN.
Got it.
It's just come
she
on.
Still
Maleficent
the corn rolls
is
from
like
salt.
Such a great
that was
character.
Weird.
So, well, I'm curious. You're right. That's in the same vein. Of,
it just looks a little cheesy to me. And that,
well,
that's like
it's
the
Disney.
I know, but I guess I just mean with like fairy tale adventure movies. I think it's really hard to actually make them gritty.
Okay, let me ask you that though. So let me ask you the follow up to that. So they're actually using like a Disney TM character.
Yes.
So that you can't really make gritty.
For sure.
Because you're gonna Disney has so much of its base in kids, you can't alienate. Hey, if we know anything from politics, can't alienate your base.
Mm-mm.
So they need those kids to go.
For sure.
Versus something like Pan, and again, I don't know what that's going to be like, but he has made mostly adult movies up until this point. Like Atonement is very adult-themed, has a very adult theme, so I would assume it's going to not be for kids. So I just wonder if they'll do any more of that, because they're doing it on TV. And
it is weird what you were saying when they take a children's story and try to make it gritty. Like, even, like, Maleficent, you can tell it looks like a Disney movie, but there is something about it that I get, like, oh, you guys are going to try and make this, like, some kind of serious interpretation of it. It'd be interesting to see about this Pan. I hated Hook. I thought that movie was
Rufio.
Terrible. Yeah, I know.
Rufy.
Batarang was whack-a-rang. I said it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Great trailer, though. I remember that trailer being amazing.
It's a good trailer.
It's
also
not a great
baby,
movie.
Baby Gwyneth Paltrow. I think that's where she got her start.
Whoa.
Is she in that?
She is Wendy.
Whoa.
Is that right?
I am
crazy.
Not kidding you.
Wow, I believe you.
It's been a long time since I've seen
it. It has
movie.
Been a minute.
Also, just something to... Are you looking that up, Lindsay? I really want you to be looking
that up. No phones in the booth, but Lindsay's on a computer.
Lindsay on the ones and twos now.
Producer's looking that up. Mission Impossible 5. Slated for release on December 25th. Lindsay, is that face that you... are seeing that it actually is baby Gwyneth Paltrow? Pow! Well, pow! Pow!
Boom.
Pow! Pow!
Handled. Handled.
You're welcome, guys.
Is it Maggie Smith that is... Forget it. It
Blythe Danner is in it.
Oh,
no, she's not, but that's just her mom. I know a lot about Gwyneth Paltrow! Kate Mennings are her cousin.
Yep.
Okay. So Mission Impossible 5 was slated for a December 25th, 2015 release. Here's my question, and then we're going to stop with this. This is our final part of the news segment, so you guys really got to bring your A game.
All right.
All right.
At this point, today, Tom Cruise, 51.
Who's Tom Cruise?
That's insane. December 25th, 2015, he will be 53 years old. What do you think the shelf life is on a Mr. Cruise in an action movie?
Well, can I say one thing up top? I'm beginning to think these missions are possible. I don't believe the impossibility of these missions.
Yeah.
Because, like,
think
that one guy can do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think they're false flagging.
You know, you want a movie where at the end they're just like, ah,
he didn't do it.
Forget it.
Yeah.
He's fired all the time.
Yeah. Or he's got a real boring mission.
Excuse me, Mr. Impossible. Can you come into my office? That's his name, right? Mr.
Yeah,
Impossible.
Mr. Impossible.
I'm just curious because I was thinking about action stars that have been able to stay action stars. And now he's played in some dramas, but he's also like his thing is that he does his own stunts, but also that he's like a serious actor. And there's very few people that have that crossover because like Arnold Schwarzenegger did a lot of physical stuff, but nobody was casting him in really serious roles. And Tom Cruise kind of rides that line almost in a way where like, who else? Clint Eastwood? I mean, seriously, I'm trying to think of like other people that kind of have that balance going on.
Tom Cruise is lucky in that he's not the intimidating, huge, like muscular
he's
Arnold Schwarzenegger type
he's
guy.
Two feet
so
tall,
it's
so.
Easy. It's going to be easy to believe him in a scene where he's not whooping somebody's ass. And I think he's also doing the smart thing of Well, actually, there was a shit ton of action in Ghost Protocol, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
But it was
he was dangling.
I would say, though, it was like kind of believable in this way that like Bruce Willis in, and I know what they're going for in Die Hard is completely different than Mission Impossible a little bit, and that climbing thing was crazy, but he's also just climbing something. He's not jumping from a helicopter onto a boat that is like being driven by an alligator.
That's funny that you bring that up, though, because that half of that movie is also Bruce Willis being like, ow, my back!
Well, yeah.
Like, so they really didn't try to incorporate that he's like older into it.
Four, like Die Hard 4, when he jumps off of a helicopter into the thing.
Tom Cruise also looks exactly like he does in Risky Business, so it's much easier
for us
to be like.
His bod looks a little weird when he's got his shirt off.
He also
off.
Doesn't take his shirt off in Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, you can just see that it's like, and I'm not saying he looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like he is older than you think he is because his face looks so young. Then he takes his shirt off, you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
So it's a surprise.
Melted plastic chest.
Yeah,
Does he have melted plastic chest syndrome?
A little bit. I mean, sorry, dudes. But
so are you guys thinking that in 2015, on Christmas Day, he is still going to look like he can take care of business?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, probably.
For as much shit as I give Tom Cruise, you know what I always end up doing? Watching Tom Cruise movies. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to this next Mission Impossible. I love the last one. That was great.
I have a prediction about it. I bet he will smile directly at the camera. That's the only
point. And thank me for being there?
No, he'll just
Thanks
be like,
for being here, Ricky.
He'll just be like, you know, he does that. This is an audio podcast.
I feel like everybody could hear that.
Yeah.
It's an eyebrow
you
raise.
You really nailed Tom Cruise just then.
It's like
I think
he's here.
So. We will be back right after this with a special Movies That Made Us with a great secret call-in guest.
Justin, what are you doing?
Strapping a chicken to my arm. Heard there's some plague out west, so I just wanted to, you know, kind of get out ahead of it.
Justin, if you'd ever listened to our medical history podcast, Sawbones, where we talk about everything from trepanation to bloodletting, you would know that that is a ridiculous idea and it will never work.
I haven't caught it. Sawbones?
Yes, it's every Friday on the Maximum Fun Network, and we record it together.
Doctor or something?
Yes!
So welcome back to the part of the show that we like to call Movies That Made Us. Now, this is a part of the show where we talk about the films that really influenced our lives and gave us the bodies and minds that we live with today. We have a special guest on the phone. He is at work, and he took time from his busy schedule. What does he do for a living? Well, currently, he's hosting a show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in Los Angeles, and he's backstage in between his hosting studios. His hosting studios? That's
studios.
A thing.
Yep.
And he is also a gentleman you might know from Jordan Jesse Go. I wanted to welcome to the show Mr. Jordan Morris. Jordan, how are you?
Hi, guys. I don't want to correct you too hard up top, Cameron, but I have stepped out into the alley behind the UCB where everyone goes to smoke.
Got it. So you're not actually in the physical space.
Yeah.
That makes it pretty different.
It's still very gritty.
You know,
it's also a great space to do a show in as well. A lot of people don't use that space. They should use that alley space.
The alley space.
Yeah, there's this guy who does this great homeless man character. He's there most weeknights, and it's just like a fun kind of one-man show kind of thing.
Pretty method, isn't he? His method.
He's great. I mean,
It's De Niro. We can say who it is. It's De Niro.
I love that. Yeah. I love that theater, Jordan, as you know. I host a show there on Tuesday nights, so I will be there tomorrow because we're talking to you on Monday. So will you leave me backstage, like a snack, donut?
Yeah, I'll leave you a little Goonies-esque scavenger hunt.
That's perfect. Can you get a crabby lady and then somebody that's mildly deformed?
I am willing to go that far for this inside joke. Okay. Yeah. I will commit.
You brought into the show a movie that made you. You suggested this to me. I thought it was perfect because we were talking about Roadhouse today on the show. And can you please enlighten Rhea and Ricky, who are also here? You guys can say hi to Jordan. I don't know if you did earlier, but that was rude of you.
What it do, nephew?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
What is the movie that you wanted to talk about tonight?
I mean, really a real kind of spiritual twin to Roadhouse. I wanted to talk about Point Break.
Yeah, that's what's up.
It is a spiritual twin. Now, do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
You know, not specifically, but I can tell you kind of the general context in which I would usually watch Point Break.
Yes.
It was one of these movies that I would watch during a lot of sleepovers. I feel like everyone's older brother had a VHS copy of Point Break.
And it was a little risque.
Yeah, it was a little risque. I mean, I definitely felt risque every time Lori Petty was on the screen.
Yeah.
And I definitely, to this day, I could probably describe my type as a Lori Petty type.
Right, like a tank girl sort of a, like a tank girl sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting because this leads me, this is helping me understand, you know, young men a lot better, because girl sleepovers are all about Ouija boards.
Dirty dancing.
Yeah, Ouija boards, maybe dirty dancing, probably something that's super scary. And then everybody else goes to sleep and I lay there terrified.
isn't it weird? I mean, isn't it weird that both of them involve Patrick Swayze? Like, that's the common factor between girls and boys sleepovers.
Yes.
A Patrick Swayze movie is usually involved.
Always, always. So, and that's right, because to talk a little bit about, for the listeners, what Point Break actually is, so it's Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves together, mm-hmm. and what are they doing?
And Gary Busey and Gary Busey.
That's right.
And they are surf bank robbers.
So yeah, so Patrick Swayze leads a gang of extreme sports bank robbers who do it not for the money, but for the thrill. They're looking for the ultimate adrenaline rush.
Yeah, and this is before the X Games, so there wasn't really another outlet for that kind of...
Yeah, or, you know, maybe X Games was in its infancy and people were still doing, like, street luge and, like, ice wall climbing. I mean, really, is a product of the 90s. And definitely, like, you know, clearly was the plot was cooked up by some executive who's like, oh, these kids love surfing and skateboarding. So, you know, it was
right.
It seems kind of cynically constructed, but ends up being just a really kind of wonderful movie. And Keanu Reeves is an FBI agent, delivers most, you know, has maybe the most Keanu Reevesiest line of all time. Just him screaming. Not screaming, mumbling loudly, I am an FBI agent.
Which is how you know, actually.
Right,
you have
exactly.
to say that. That's part of, yep. that's what they do at Quantico. Is that where that is? Or is that the CIA?
Sure.
I don't know. I think I nailed that.
They teach you how to mumble that unconvincingly.
what's his FBI agent name?
Oh, Johnny Utah.
Johnny Utah.
Johnny Utah.
Yeah, it is.
And
the Utahs of Utah.
I'm
correct?
Trying to remember that the and spoiler alert.
Sure.
It, you know, you should have already seen this movie. So if you are listening and you haven't already seen this movie, this is really a reflection on you.
Mm-hmm.
Just see it, guys. Come on.
But I want to just talk
about it. I think there's a channel of HBO dedicated specifically to Point Break.
Right. Yes, HBO Break.
HBO in Espanol, there's HBO 2, and then there's HBO Break, which just shows Point Break.
Yeah, you can get it directly on your surfboard. You can just download it directly to your surfboard. I want to talk a little bit about the ending of this movie, because I think what really stands out to me is the end, like the big finale in this movie is amazing. And I don't know if you, do you feel comfortable, you know, just kind of running through some of the talking points or maybe what's amazing about it, if you have any thoughts
on
it?
The end of this movie, Keanu Reeves is an FBI agent. He infiltrates the extreme sports gang. And, you know, like all good undercover cop movies, he, you know, comes to empathize with the bank robbers. He considers them friends by the end. So, you know, when the time comes to capture Swayze and take him to justice, he's conflicted. And kind of one of Swayze's dreams throughout the movie is to surf a legendary big wave. I think it's called the 7-year storm. I might be getting that year.
Yeah, it's a certain number
wrong.
Of years. Yeah, it's like a cicada.
Yeah, a something year storm. And I guess this one storm is very rare, and it's been Swayze's dream to surf it. And Keanu, instead of capturing him and taking him to justice, lets him surf the wave.
Surf it right down.
It's kind of implied that Swayze dies surfing the wave and therefore, you know, has gotten his comeuppance, but also has lived his dream. So,
now, do you think the movie Speed would have been different if they had just let Dennis Hopper live his dreams at the end?
Of like crashing more buses?
I just always felt like, you know, since we knew that Keanu had that potential in him, like, it's strange that in other movies he goes ahead and stops people. You know what I mean? Like, the Matrix should just exist and also buses should explode.
Yeah.
You know what? If someone told me that, you know, like, you know, when someone tells you, like, oh, all the Stephen King books are in the same universe or something like that. If someone told me that Keanu Reeves is playing the same character in every movie and these are supposed to be, like, linear, I would not be surprised.
Right. His mom had a ton of Keanu's, right, all at once. Well, she couldn't get pregnant naturally easily, mm-hmm. so she had to take a bunch of hormones and then she had just had a bunch of Keanu's all at once.
Well, all of these characters are Ted, Theodore, Logan.
Yeah, they are.
I love that. Now, when's the last time you saw this movie? How frequently do you see it? Have you seen it recently? Is it something you're still watching as an adult?
Yes, I see it several times a year. It's on HBO. Like I said, I have HBO Go, and it is just a kind of perennial hangover day favorite.
Jordan, can you share your HBO Go password with everybody, please?
No.
And your credit card information.
Once I start dating one of you guys, then I will share with you my password.
Oh, my God. That's going to be shit. Ricky, it's you, I think.
Yeah. I feel good about this one, guys. I feel good.
Yeah, just to entice you to date me, Ricky, I've got an HBO Go password. You can put some DVDs on the Netflix queue if you want to.
As if anybody needed other reasons to love you, between the amazing hair that you have and the great sense of humor and your reputation as a superior podcaster to even ourselves.
Sure. You know, well, thank you, guys.
We know when we're beat.
Thank you. I'm gonna put an MP3 of this on my OkCupid profile.
So I just want to thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your movie that made us. I love Point Break myself, and I hope all the listeners at home have seen it or are inspired by your love to go see it now. Have a great
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's me, Jesse. MaxFunCon is MaximumFun.org's annual gathering of friends in the mountains above Los Angeles. Join us this spring for comedy, classes, talks, and parties with your new best pals. Tickets for the 2014 edition go on sale Friday, November 29th, and to be honest, we cannot add any more bed capacity, so expect it to sell out quick. Head to MaxFunCon.com the day after Thanksgiving to grab yours.
Well, that was a fun segment. I love hearing from Jordan.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
Nice to have people in the Max Fun family and hear what really has inspired them and made them the funsters they are today. And
the maximum funsters.
Yeah, yeah, maximum super fun. Mm. That's implied. They're mm-hmm. maximum fun. They're super fun. And also, now's the part of the show when we're going to give a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose 1989's Bouncer, Hero, Savior film. Roadhouse, currently on Netflix. I'm having an enunciation problem tonight.
It's cool.
Currently
You're
on
doing great.
Netflix.
There you go.
Watch instant.
Nailed it.
Spoilers do follow.
This segment is going to take 47 minutes.
This movie, I hope you guys watched it along with us. If you didn't, don't worry. We're still going to be captivating and hilarious. Mm-hmm. You still got time to watch it. You could pause the show. But
no way we could actually ruin this movie for you.
No,
impossible.
You can hear the whole plot, and then seeing it will still affect you in your heart and your feet. You'll dance away. You'll dance right out of there.
And
with
probably
joy.
Your waistline a little.
Oh, you are going to get slim.
Get real hippie.
Yeah. Your pants are going to be higher on your waist.
Real high.
A lot of high pants in this movie.
This film stars Patrick Swayze, Sam Elliott, Kelly Lynch.
Woo!
Whew, what a... Also, it's directed by Rowdy Harrington. Mm. I just looked him up. You know, I was like, sometimes I do the research. His first name is Rowdy. That's number one. Number two, the only other thing that's available about that guy, he like did a couple other films, nothing that I had heard of before. Also, he went to Penn State. So I like thinking that he went to a very good college and then was like, you know what I want to make? Bouncer, hero, savior, action film. Let's just do a little bit of an overview of the
plot. Don't forget
of this
Ben
movie.
Gazzara, though.
Ben Gazzara
yes.
up in this
you can't
mode.
Leave out Ben.
Okay,
I'm
I
sorry.
Apologize.
I didn't yeah. no, mean to no, interrupt. No.
Thank
but
you. I guess I just didn't
forget.
Know that guy's name.
Yeah, Ben Gazzara. Jackie Treehorn.
Say his name again?
Ben Gazzara.
That's amazing.
Ben
if
Gazzara.
You speed it up, that sounds great.
Ben Gazzara.
Yeah. Are you talking about Ben Gazzara Bhutto, right?
Yep. Ben Gazzara Bhutto.
The late from, she was the Prime Bhutto. Minister of Pakistan.
Yes.
Tough. Tough political stuff over there.
Oof.
You guys are talking over my head, over my afro. All this is going over my fro.
And that's amazing because it's so high.
It's a high afro.
I have to really clear that.
It's way up there.
So quick overview of this movie. Now, Patrick Swayze is, in this film, a professional cooler. That is the word that they use. What is a cooler? Somebody that is a bouncer, but in like a kind of an overseeing, hey, they chill the room out.
Yeah.
That's why they're coolers.
There's a hierarchy. I feel there's bouncers and then the cooler is above them.
The cooler is the boss of the bouncer. Yeah. He is the CEO.
Yeah, the Jedi and the Padawans.
He is the bounce house.
Yeah, he is.
If you will.
He can pop a bounce house. He's Papa Bounce House.
He's Papa Bounce House.
From that, you remember that 80s television show about those little blue guys, the bounce houses? And then there was Papa Bounce House.
Yeah.
Then the other ones. Yeah, okay.
Girly Bounce House.
Sleepy Bounce House.
Yeah, and then there was a gummy bear.
Twerky Bounce House is in the new one, but it's not taking off as well as it.
That's true. It's true. Why'd they make her white?
Right there.
So, what does this professional cooler do? Hey, he lives a life on the road. He hops from bar to bar, saving roadside bars, roadhouses, from the fate of being too violent to stay open. Now, can he bring order to the Double Deuce, the bar in this film? Or will people be too drunk for business? And that's the whole plot of this movie, pretty much, is just that there's a bar where, for some reason, people cannot stop fighting long enough for the bar to be a bar.
In this town where this movie takes place,
yes,
we don't really see other parts of the town.
No.
We see the Double Deuce. Where's everybody else at when they're not at the Double Deuce? Are they just sleeping so they can wake up to go get shit-faced at the Double Deuce? That's all. I was like, there's...
You're right. I mean, it seems like if there was just one competing bar where it was not that violent, then the Double Deuce would be closed. Like, chill it out.
But it's just like, no, everybody shows up at the Double Deuce at some time and then starts kicking shit. Shit kickers start
going. And there's like a magnate, like a local magnate, like a local Ben Gazzuna.
Ben Gazzuna, yes.
That local LA comic Ben Bazzuna.
Ben Bazzuna.
What's his name?
Ben Gazzara.
Ben Gazzara.
He is a magnate.
And his character name is Brad?
Yeah.
I think in this movie. Yeah. Brad is hilarious. Or something.
Brad Wesley?
Brad Wesley?
Where did that come from? He is involved in, for some reason, hurting the town.
Yeah.
By being in charge of it.
He's very mean.
He likes to throw parties, is what I got, makes him an evil person. He throws parties in, like, the back of his place.
Not fun.
No, how dare he?
Real loud, and Dalton's trying to read.
So, I just want to start before we get to our best and worst parts by just asking you guys a question: is this a thing? Coolers. I like cross-reference it to be like, is this a thing? My first answer is no. Have you guys ever heard anybody use this term outside of this movie?
You know what I forgot to do today? My brother is a bouncer at the world-famous Admiral Club in Chicago, Illinois.
You're kidding me. I didn't know that.
Shit you not.
I think I've met that brother.
Probably. He's a very big man.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't do my journalistic homework that I assigned to myself of asking him questions about Roadhouse and find out if there are such things as coolers and what the hierarchy is. I mean, I still could. I probably still am going to.
Yeah, I hope so. But, I mean, just even for your own personal knowledge.
I want to know.
And the Admiral, just for listeners that might not be from Chicago, what's special about that bar is...
There's naked ladies there.
Yeah. Ladies take their clothes off.
It's one of the biggest strip clubs in the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said it like that. So, well, they're going to need several coolers, filled with ice. Because it is... Toasty in there. Toasty titties, as they say.
Yes, she was my favorite dancer.
She's all right. She's all right. Nice during the holidays.
Oh, yeah,
that
totally.
That toasty thing kind of makes you feel there's a certain Christmas element to it.
A je ne sais quoi?
Yeah, there is a yes. Yes, je ne sais quoi.
A je ne sais quoi.
I went to high school with her. She's fine still. I think she's doing okay. So anyway, this is one of our loosest shows.
We just want to
acknowledge it in the moment.
We're hanging out at a roadhouse.
It's like we're handing out some brews.
You're right, Rhea. It is indicative of the movie that we are watching. Now, the other thing I want to say, cooler, not sure if it's real. Definitely, this is fighting in a bar so much that that bar is in danger of closing a thing?
I think that there are definitely bars that people get into a bunch of fights in, but I don't think that a bar ever lasts so long that they can even be like, whoa, there's too many fights here. I think they have just like a huge fight, someone dies, and they're like, shut it down. Like, I think that's kind of how that usually works.
You're right. This is not a very litigious town.
Yeah.
I will say that nobody's ever suing each other for the massive physical harm that they're doing to one another.
There's not a single police officer in this film, I don't believe.
Well, yeah. I mean, why would you have the
police
They're at
force?
The other bar.
Yeah, right.
They're at the other bar.
They're
the
cop bar.
Yeah, they're at the other safe bar. So I want to get through the thoughts that you guys have on this film. Now, Rhea, I'm going to start with you. What is the worst part of this movie?
Well, I have two tiny parts.
Yeah.
Two tiny worst parts. Number one, I am so bummed that Sam Mustache has to die in this movie.
Mm, yeah, he does.
Sam Elliott does not need to die in this movie. I mean, I get it, but also, bummer, man.
Yeah.
That just bummed
Always
me
a
out.
Sad moment.
It's a sad moment. And then my other worst part is a cliche in movies that I hate so much. It drives me absolutely crazy. No one kisses underwater.
You know what? I could not agree with you more.
It is the stupidest thing I've ever
seen. One of the dumbest cliches in the world.
No one
does
that.
And I would like to not only blame this movie, but also Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
For really influencing an entire generation of kids to think that Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes would smooch underwater. They will not be doing that. And that's why Franco Zeffirelli didn't put it in the original Romeo and Juliet movie. The end.
It is in the Shakespeare play, though. It is in the actual.
Yeah.
It isn't it.
They have an intermission, and they bring in a pool, and then they get in.
And they say, tuppence for a pool.
It just drives me crazy, especially in this movie, because they're, like, skinny dipping and making out. And then, it's not even that they're already underwater, and they kiss each other, and it's like a funny fish thing. It's that they're already above water. They start making out, and then they slowly go down into the water. That is so stupid. No one would ever do that. You have to breathe through your nose while you're kissing, and then you're trying to breathe the water out of your nose. Come on. That is the worst part of this movie.
You know, I agree with you, and I'd like to say additionally that I think we should stop pretending that anybody has sex in water.
Yes.
Because water washes away lubrication,
yep.
And therefore it makes it unpleasurable.
It's pretty much the
so
worst.
So stop pretending that hot tubs are sexy. They're not. Gross. Stop it. I mean, it's great to hang out in there, but you're living a lie, hot tubs. You're living a lie. Ricky, what is the worst part of this movie for you?
Oh, I was really, Roadhouse, what an adventure this was. The guy I was not a fan of, I wasn't a fan of the character Evil Mark Ruffalo. The guy, Ben Gazzara's boy, who would always...
I couldn't
stand that guy. He was like a combination of him and... you remember Nick from Family Ties? You remember Family Ties?
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
It was like a meld of those guys. Even like the... Did he have like the earring with like a little like eagle hair or some shit on there?
Eagle hair?
Eagle hair. They have... Eagles have hair, first of all. Let's start... If we're going to have real talk, then let's start... Talking
yeah,
real.
Eagle hair.
Exactly. I just couldn't stand that guy. He was so just like that terrible 80s bad guy character done wrong.
Can I say something about that guy?
Please do.
Because I also agree with you. He says something in this movie that is quite possibly the weirdest thing. They're fighting. They're like, because he's like the secondary boss level.
Yeah.
And he and Dalton are finally fighting like on the riverbank. And they're like, you know, going at it, foot fist style.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're talking to each other the whole time. And then Evil Mark Ruffalo is like, I used to fuck guys like you in prison. And then Dalton doesn't say anything. He just keeps fighting. Mm-hmm. That is a weird line. That is a weird, weird line.
He might as well have said, it's 1988.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you guys are really bringing up, both of you, that there's some serious time stampage on this film.
Oof.
And I don't just actually mean in like the outfits and the pants or the cars or the general decor or the decorum or anything. But I would say that it's actually just the, you know, it goes in line with Sylvester Stallone's arm wrestling flick whatever the fuck that
over
was
the
called.
Top.
Over the top.
It felt, didn't it feel like it took place in the same world as I was watching it?
It's like those two guys, if they ever met, they would just be like, oh, I didn't know you were around, friend.
It has a guy.
Look at us, our best friends.
One of the guys from Over the Top is in...
Is it this guy?
Terry Funk.
Oh.
He was like the first bouncer that
Patrick
Swayze
Well,
fires.
There's only like two big guys at this time, so they're going to be in those two movies.
Of course.
But yeah, you're right. It does feel like it takes place in the same universe. It's just a movie where it doesn't make the whole setup doesn't make a ton of sense. I was asking those questions about whether or not bars are really this, like, because it's not a bar where the violence makes sense. Maybe we just live in like a post The Wire world, and I think about like bar violence being like a drug feud or some other thing. This is just like
it. Also,
I'm crabby.
It reminded me of because I was thinking like bars like this don't exist. Do you remember that series of movies from the early 80s, Porky's?
Yes.
I was like, this has to be the other town over from where Porky's
is.
Because when I was watching Porky's, I was like, where does that exist? I mean, I know I live in the city, but what part of the country is...
But it's also kind of the same bar from Blues Brothers.
It is. I was just going to say. But the Blues Brothers bar actually feels more real. And that is the only time anybody's ever said that about the Blues Brothers. It felt like a documentary compared to this. Now, I want to get on to our best parts. Rhea, what is the best part?
Well, okay. So you were just saying like it's not believable, but here's the thing that I really liked about this movie is that they actually spend the time to build the world that they're attempting to build.
Mm-hmm.
Like they take time to set everything up, all the characters, everything. They're not very deep characters, but you like get a sense of what Dalton is and like his and Sam Elliott, and even Kelly Lynch has a backstory about like her parents dying, like a movie that is from 2013 that is comparable to the quality of this film would not spend any amount of the time that Roadhouse spends trying to build Jasper out.
That's a really good point. You're making a very
like
good
each
point.
Character has names and backstories. Like they spend a lot of time, and I would also like to say that this movie was shot really well. Like the cinematography of this film is really good. There's a action sequence where somebody punches Dalton and his face goes to camera, like perfectly. It's great. Also, I would like to point out that John Doe is in this film from the band X, the L.A.-based band X.
Yeah, he
also calls someone Chicken Dick, which I've never heard that before in my life.
But now you're going to use it every day.
All the time. And then my last thing about John Doe is there's a scene where Dalton is like charging them with his Mercedes that everybody's judging him for. And then all of Jackie Treehorn's dudes are shooting at him. And John Doe has like a shotgun, and he is just like shooting him like he's playing a gun, like tapping his leg. It's a podcast, so you can't see it. But go back to that scene and watch John Doe. It is amazing.
That's amazing.
Oh, and there's Keith David is in this movie as like a bartender. That's it.
Scratch that off my list. I was definitely
bring up.
No, don't be sorry, girl.
Ricky, what is the best part of this movie for
you? Oh, you're going to have to make me stop because I've just got
you guys
a list. And I'm just going to start off writing what Rhea just said.
Yeah.
Why does this movie look so great? Because that was Dean Cundey up in this bitch.
Thank you, Ricky.
He shot this movie. Michael Kamen made the score to this movie. When he has that big fight between evil Mark Ruffalo, I was like, God damn, this sounds like Die Hard music. I look up the score. Who is it? Michael Kamen. Boom! Did the score to Die Hard.
Ricky Kamada.
It's directed by Rowdy Harrington. If your name is Rowdy Harrington and you don't direct a movie called Roadhouse, what are you doing with your life? Patrick Swayze. This is one of the movies where in hip hop, Patrick Swayze has like cult status because he's such a badass. So when somebody like gets got, or if somebody don't make it in a movie, they go Swayze. And this is like a perfect example of like evil Mark Ruffalo. He gets Swayze. It don't work out for him. He's the best damn cooler in the business.
Yeah.
There's a business of coolers.
Yes.
Love that. Kelly Lynch.
And word of mouth, too.
Like, yes, it travels.
Word of mouth.
Like he doesn't have a phone.
Because there's no internet.
This is before
no
the
phone.
Internet. He doesn't have a Tumblr
it's just
page.
Like he gets generally recruited word of mouth between bars.
Exactly.
Across the nation.
He sends like hair signals.
Yes, of course.
The hair in this movie.
Fantastic.
Come on, you guys.
And also, I want to bring up that Kelly Lynch has the same, it's pretty much the same opening scene and from when we saw Rush. Remember when he, the first time meets the girl and they like the nurse?
Yes. Now it's all coming back to me now. That did seem very familiar.
Yeah, totally. Rush felt like such a throwback movie.
It was a pastiche.
And this is like a perfect example of that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Dalton drops, I love how philosophical he is. He's always just giving these answers that are so great. Like, he tells him, be nice. All right, but yeah, be nice.
Yeah.
That's going to make him work. Ben Gazzara is the shit. Sam Elliott's great.
He's not the one that says, does a hobby horse have a wooden dick, right?
No,
that's not a Swayze
no.
Well, I
yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, darling. What else? Get it out.
Oh, Sam Elliott is great. I can't remember what his. Everybody just has great names in these movies. I wanted Sam Elliott's name to be Corona Leather Stallion. I thought that'd have been a great character.
I think those guys Blitzer.
Are really into this. I love your response on this. This is the most notes you guys have ever brought in, the most specificity.
I was up till 2 in the morning last night watching this movie. I was like, I'm in.
Roadhouse is in my wheelhouse.
Well, you know, can I just say here's my best part of this
Please
movie.
Do.
My best part of this movie, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
I cannot, his existence as an actor, nobody else could have been him. You know, there was nobody else that could have, because he's graceful the way that he stands. His mama was a dancer. Like every movie that he's in, he just adds so much to it. And I think he is perfect. I think he was an amazing.
His accent, too.
He's awesome.
Don't you think his accent and, yeah.
I just think I could watch him forever. And I also could watch his little chest.
He does have a great ballet jump. When he like jumps out from like his baller cabin that he stays in and like lands on the truck and like rolls out. When he first leaps out, it's very like arms open. I was like, go ahead.
No, oh, he's fantastic.
He's like a serious
a graceful man.
Dance. You can see his
graceful.
His little pelvis. Watch his pelvis next time. He knows how to use it. So on a scale of let's rate it. On a scale of 1 to 5, high waisted pants. Rhea. How many high waisters do you give Roadhouse?
I give Roadhouse 5 high waisters.
Wow.
I mean, but my scale is like from my enjoyment of it. This
Got
is
it.
Not like giving it an Oscar. I wouldn't.
You gave it an Oscar.
Yeah, I just gave it an Oscar. But no, I would watch this movie so many more times. It's fun.
So Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, his mother was a dancer.
Mm.
How many dancer mothers do you give Roadhouse?
This is a movie where the final thing you realize is that 4 men can shotgun a man and get away with murder. I will give this movie 3.5. What was it? Graceful?
Dancer mothers.
Dancer mothers. I will give it 3.5 dancer mothers.
I am giving Roadhouse a 5 that's not a real jobs. And I'll tell you why. This is a party movie. Or a date movie with a new person, you need something to talk about, you know? Pop it on, then just go, oh, this is not a real job, you know, that kind of thing. I'm just giving you some dating advice. So I think this movie is great for that. Now, do you want an emotionally charged movie that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life? Also choose Roadhouse! And we're going to wrap up the show. Leaving you with this. Rhea, what are you thinking about this week?
Well, in regards to Roadhouse, I have been watching this show that airs on Spike Television. Also watching it on Hulu Plus because I recently signed up for that. Mm. The kind of new version of Roadhouse called Bar Rescue with John Tafferty. I'm a huge fan of like those remodel shows and stuff where he goes into like a bar that is failing for sometimes reasons of fights, but mostly because they don't clean anything. And it is so stupid, but also so enjoyable. There's a bunch of it on Hulu. Watch it. Let me know what you think. He's like an older guy who just like acts like everybody's dad and really condescending. I find it very funny. And also, Christmas is upon us pretty soon, but Netflix thinks so. And they just put Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And that is like one of my favorite Christmas movies, if only just for the opening credits cartoon sequence and the Angelo Badalamenti score.
What are you guys talking about? That's David Lynch's...
I know what you're talking about, girl.
It's so good. Christmas time is here. You guys should watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and then tweet me on Twitter what your favorite joke is from that movie. At Rhea Butcher. Ricky Carmona, what are you thinking about this week?
I'm thinking about two quick things. Two of my favorite superheroes. I didn't bring this up last week because I wanted to make sure that I watched it to make sure that it still held up. Man of Steel came out on Blu-ray, and I am recommending that movie yet again. Yet again.
Boo!
Buy it on Blu-ray. It's got great picture quality, so you can see how wrong you are. It's got great audio quality. You can hear how wrong you are. It's got great Blu-ray features to show you all the right decisions they made in that movie.
Man of Steel.
Come on over and watch that movie with me, girl. And also, today is the 21-year anniversary of Malcolm X being released in the theater, and I will take any chance I can to give that movie a shout-out, because that movie is amazing.
Wow, so we are all recommending movies today, and they're pretty different. Malcolm X, Christmas Vacation.
Pretty similar.
Wait till you see the third one that we're adding.
Here we go.
I am going to recommend Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. I know that this was a very Swayze-heavy show, and I would be always remiss if I didn't talk about this movie and his acting in this movie, and also this movie in general. Now, what's awesome about Tu Wong Fu is that it came out at a time where this was very much not okay in society. They are... I don't think I would say, what are the characters in this? Like, I guess they're drag queens. I mean, because I wouldn't say they're I wouldn't say they're trans women, but maybe. Maybe I need to read it. We may need to see it again just to see what the actual portrayal is supposed to be. But it is Wesley Snipes, and it is, you know what? I think they are trans now that I look back at it. Like, they're women that are they're women that began their life as men and then now are living as women, and they were rejected by their families. It's like this very sweet, very John Leguizamo's in it and Patrick Swayze. And all of the actors in this movie are great. And it is not a joke on them. And there's the fact that this movie was made at that time, it is more sensitive than movies we see now that might have that type of a character in it. It is like very funny in an honest way, and I also like love the way that the actors play it. They're not selling themselves out. They're not like using a high-pitched voice. And Patrick Swayze looks amazing in the outfits that he wears. So does Wesley Snipes, I'll add. So see that movie. It is great to... It's just great that it got made. I love it. I love that movie. It's very good. Speaking of films, we're going to be watching... Did you hear that?
I hear that. Oh, yeah. Keep talking, Peter Brady.
Careful.
Say it.
We're not going to be watching.
He knows the Brady Bunch.
Look at that.
I love the Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch is great. My favorite Brady Bunch member, Theo Huxtable.
So next week we're going to be watching Desperado, which is currently available on Netflix. Watch Instant. Until then, I am Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlos. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.